John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. People therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. But if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And may the Lord be pleased to bless even the very reading of this portion of God's word that we have read following the message of our brother of heaven's interest. You know, when I was a boy of 6, or perhaps even 5, I remember very well going home from a gospel meeting in the city of Belfast. I believe it was the first time that dawned in on my soul that the Lord Jesus had to die on Calvary's cross for sinners. And if there is one thing that I would long for tonight, that is that some precious soul may realize what it cost God, what it cost the Lord Jesus to provide for you and for me a heaven for all eternity. We find that there were men who were interested in precious souls, 2 of them. And they could see a need amongst those people. These people had bypassed religion, and they were looking for reality. Now there's one thing I would counsel you tonight. That is, go in for reality, because there's reality found in only one person. That is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings before us here an hour. In verse 27, for this cause came I unto this hour. He brings before us, in verse 24, a harvest of precious souls. Then he brings before us, in verse 26, the honor of God the Father. I would like, for the moments that are left, to bring before you something of what it costs the Lord Jesus Christ to provide salvation for sinners such as us. He came to this hour, and this hour, with the vocabulary that one has, was the climax of all the ages. We speak about eternity. And with our imagination, and truly with the little understanding that we have of eternity, we think about a time away back in the dateless, timeless past, when the counsel of God with His beloved Son set a time when God would be glorified, when sin would be put away, when Satan would be defeated, when the way into heaven would be opened, and sinners could draw nigh to a holy God, cleansed from sin and fitted to stand in His presence and to join in that song that we were hearing about, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin. So this hour that the Lord Jesus speaks about was an hour that away in the dateless, timeless past was settled by the counsels of God. I want, sinner friend, tonight to impress upon you, we have heard of the interest of heaven and the interest of God concerning our souls. Wasn't just after an afterthought. It was something that was determined by the divine counsel of God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the hour is come, He spoke about it as we read here in verse 23. The hour when the Son of Man should be glorified. I want to tell you tonight that the work of our Lord Jesus Christ was a glorious work, a work that glorified Him, a work that satisfied God, and a work the value of which will land millions of precious souls in heaven's door. I would like to speak to you then about some of the things that happen at this very moment, in a moment of history, when the Lord Jesus Christ is this hour. The hour is come. An hour that eternity looks forward to. An hour that heaven will look back to. An hour that thrills our very soul. An hour that will never ever be forgotten, whether it's in heaven or in hell.
Because, my friend, remember this, that there's a day coming when whether in heaven we'll bow our knee, or whether in hell you'll bow your knee at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, would the prophet of old say, prepare to meet thy God. For sinner friend, you must meet God. Whether you meet God in time, and we trust and pray and hope that you'll meet God in time and get his salvation. Because as sure as you are born, and as sure as you die and go out into eternity, you will face God. Prepare to meet thy God. How can a sinner meet a holy God? How can you, because I believe tonight there may be some in our meeting and you're dissatisfied with your life. You're dissatisfied with your sin. And it just might be that you would long and desire to get God's salvation tonight. I want to take you to the only place where sinners need to go, and that is to the place called Calvary, where this hour that our Lord Jesus Christ is, this hour where he submitted to the claims of God, this hour that came and passed, and because of this hour, he is eternally glorified as the Savior of sinners. And the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as the Son of Man. I believe that at a place called Calvary, he went out to Calvary's cross, and there he took full responsibility. He became accountable for man. He went out there to face all the claims of God against man. That one that's spoken of as the Son of God, he speaks of himself here as the Son of Man. Dear friend, that we learn the clarity of life, and we're glad to tell you again tonight that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the children of God. And so as the Son of Man, he went out to the place called Calvary. There's not one of us could have gone out. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and enter in. He went out there at that hour and faced that hour alone. The Bible tells us elsewhere that since the moment when God made Adam, that sin had been accumulating before a holy God. And God demanded, and still demands, that sin must be paid for. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. My dear friend, sin had to be dealt with. I want you to remember this, that until you deal with a sin question, you'll never have the satisfaction of God's salvation. Sin had to be faced. the sin question had to be settled. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He went out there at that hour, and there He took that accumulated load of sin, and God dealt with them at the place called Calvary, as if He was a sinner. He took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in His stead. And because He took the sinner's place, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that one who is the Son of Man, He knew what it was to be abandoned at a place called Calvary, when a holy God dealt with Him. And oh, the pathetic cry of the Savior at the place called Calvary. There was at this hour a cry that went up to the very heaven itself. It went from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ at that moment, at that hour, when the whole scene was enveloped in darkness. This is the cry that went up. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from me and from the voice of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and in the night season, and I am not silent, but Thou art holy. O sinner friend, this spotless Son of God, this one who could communicate with His Father and receive that voice from heaven. There was a time at that cross of Calvary, during that hour when He expired on ignominy and in shame, when He knew what it was, as it were, to be an orphan, abandoned at the place called Calvary, because He was meeting a holy God, and He was putting away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Other thing we'll find here at the place called Calvary, this hour when He was glorified, we'll find here that He had to face the devil himself. See? He says here in verse 31, how is the judgment of this world? How shall the prince, or the devil, the prince of this world, be cast out? I want to tell you tonight, I thank God from the depths of my soul for hearing the gospel preached. I perhaps don't know. I heard it. But although I could receive God's salvation free and through, yet there was a decision I had to make in my life. And here it is in verse 25. He that loveth his life shall save it. He that giveth his life in this world shall find it, shall keep it unto life. May the God save me. I would have justified God. If God had sent me down into hell that night, I would have acknowledged that that's what I righteously deserve. I had always been told that I was a sinner. You know, when God revealed to me that all my Bible knowledge is a bore, that I was a lost sinner, I could not rest. I had no peace for about 4 months until I faced this West. What was I going to do? It was this world that held me in bondage. And you know, it was the life that I was living that I loved. And there had to be a decision made. Was it Christ or the world? Was it this natural life that I was enjoying? Or was it eternal life that I would receive as it? I had a decision to make, my friend. Sometimes I believe there are those and they're not saved. Simply because they love themselves. It's when you get to that place and you see your life, you see the world, you see what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1 and 4 we're told that one of the reasons that he died on Calvary's cross, that he may deliver us from the sin. Tonight I want you to remember the Lord Jesus Christ indeed was glorified in that hour at the place called Calvary. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, it seems that as the Lord Jesus Christ went into Gethsemane, that he faced the fire. And this reverently sweet, the Lord Jesus seemed to record it. You pray that this cup may pass through. Nevertheless, not my, but thine. Dear Lord Jesus, in that hour of sorrow and he not only met the Holy God, and God dealt with sin. We thank God that the scriptures tell us that he could obey sin by the sacrifice of himself. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Sin was put away from the poor God. Satan was defeated. The world was judged. The Lord Jesus Christ became the victor. He's a glorious Savior and God. He's a satisfying Savior. I thank God for the night in his grace when he saved my soul. I've enjoyed salvation to its full. There has not been a day that has passed that I haven't at some time thought about how God reached and saved. He is a glorious Savior. The work that he accomplished at the place called Calvary is a glorious, eternal word. A word that will one day land billions of precious souls in the glory. He speaks of himself as a corn of wheat that falleth into the ground and dieth. And if it die, it bringeth forth much. Been some of our joys. We came to God to engage in a little gospel service since first God saved our soul. It's
here, they perhaps can mention that one of the things that God really saved you for is that you may serve. You know, that's a great honor. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like these two men here that we read about, Philip and Andrew, they were bringing precious souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. People who were interested in the Lord Jesus, they brought them. As some of us can look back over our years of service, we thank God for some who are in that harbor. We thank God, of course, first of all, that we are part of the harbor. That the Lord Jesus Christ has saved our precious soul. That we are happy with Christ. That we're destined for God. But there's been many, many more. That the day comes when the whole harvest will be. The millions reach and have reached the golden shore. Thank God there's room for millions more. Sinner friend, there's room for you tonight. But the only way to heaven is via the cross. Signifying by what death he will. This is what he does say. If I be the Christ, will draw all men unto me. O son of them, out. That we defeated you and unto you. You have this all power. That's all we can do. He can only point you to the only one that can save you, because he had an hour of glory at the place called Calvary when he took the guilty sinner's place and suffered them. I wonder tonight if you do not look away from the Word. Please remember all that is in the Word. This chant, Bible says, the things that are seen are only. But there is an eternity sinner for him. On this hour that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, the price that he paid, and that was himself, at the place called out, he did it so that sinners could be saved. And heaven that we were hearing about, that heaven could be there. I believe there'll not be heard, there'll not be one voice, silent in glory. Thank God. There. The house will be filled. Heaven will be filled. And the anthem that will be sung will be on to him that loved us. Wash this from our sin. So, question. When we read a verse to you, verse 38. Who? This brings a personal responsibility to each one of us. Because salvation is a personal responsibility. Who? What to ask? What
we're going to do in regards to this, work, this hour that glorified the Son, this hour when sin was put away from before the face of God, never ever to come again. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, the glorious sufficiency of the work of the Lord Jesus at the place called Calvary. He says, if I be left, will draw all men on him. Here today, serving the Lord from the past, servants of the Lord from Israel, servants from Africa, and they're all laboring, all telling the same story of God's redeeming them. Oh, thank God for this message, this hour of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus and the finished work is sufficient around the whole world in heaven. Oh, friend, there's no national distinction. It's no social distinction. Here's so much about that. No social distinctions whatsoever. It's not the message for the rich and not for the poor. For this is often what's said, my dear friend. So rich that no money can come. So all must come in a bankrupt state. See God's salvation through and through. Here's a night. Would you like to do it too? No. And sinner friend, the Lord Jesus is the exhaustion of the whole world. All we are is like finger moves. We have to point it at Christ. Christ and only. You can get your eyes at that place called Calvary. Look away there to Calvary. See the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, expiring in shame and taking your place as you are a son. Taking your place instead of your substitute. You'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, the Son of God, you love me, not you. Son of God, you have the name of you. How do you do this week? So, and the best to tell you that God loves Christ has finished the work of sin. God is satisfied. Though there's a day coming when God is going to honor every precious soul that could. Oh, do not say satisfied with the Lord Jesus. I am and by your stubborn will him and say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul, guilty, lost, give it glory to God. You enter into an experience that words can express. And it ends with a peace that draws me sins of all and never ever hurt me. And I can go up safe. Thank you.